Off top, the phrase March Madness was originally coined for the Illinois High School basketball tournament in 1939. Play the music.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
What's up, Charlie? I think I got you on that one. You probably thought it was like, I don't know, Bill Rafferty or somebody. And it wasn't, it eventually made it to the big tournament, but it was initially because Illinois basketball was popping and some guy named Porter decided to write it in the paper sometime.
Genuinely shocked this doesn't have an origin somewhere in Indiana that could have been referenced in the movie Hoosiers.
Your favorite movie.
Hey, don't put that evil on me.
All right. So, interesting thing that I want to talk about is kind of combining a lot of things. So, first of all, we'll get to Roses and Thorns later. And Charlie, even you should stick around for the end of Roses and Thorns. I'm not going to tell you what happens, but it gets funny and a little wild. Also, I got an intern this week, a young man, age 12 by the name of LJ Phillips. He's going to hop in and help us out with some, I don't know, young things. I need some insight on how the kids feel about John Morant. He's an AAU basketball player and a hell of a young student. So we'll get to him at some point. But the general topic that I want to talk about, it kind of integrates three of these big topics or these big players right now that are embroiled in different levels of off court and off field controversy. So Jalen Carter, the projected number one player in the draft, defensive tackle out of Georgia, is by far, I think, the best player in college football and should be a top three, top five pick. But he's sliding, in part because he was arrested in connection with the death of his teammate and the death of a staffer at Georgia. They were allegedly street racing, and the accident happened, and the two people died. Jalen Carter was pulled out of the combine to go be arrested in connection with all that stuff. And then he had a pro day in which he was out of shape, frankly, and couldn't perform on the field. And people are making a bunch of connections about that. Then we also have, obviously, the Brandon Miller situation where he's affiliated with the murder of a woman because he was called to bring, allegedly, to bring the weapon, the murder weapon. And he's still playing. His team is really good. They knocked out my Terps in the tournament, and he's really good, despite the fact that he played really poorly in the first round. I think he missed all of his shots in the first game. And then Ja Morant has been in the news for the last several weeks, and I feel like I don't have to brief you all on what's going on with Ja Morant, but as he's coming back tonight, I guess it's last night when you guys will be listening to it, he'll be back on the court for his first game back. So I think from my perspective, the thing that jumps out to me is being unsure how to handle all of these things in the media. And there's the gap between what it means to be in the media and what it means to just be a fan or a person is shrinking because obviously social media, and there's a need for everyone to feel like they have to make a statement or have an opinion. And I, as someone who kind of does, like I'm expected to talk about these things and I'm expected to have an opinion. And I find myself one of the things that I try to work on, I need to do better with is being honest about my opinion and not so much about what I expect or what people expect me to say about things. And I don't feel great about how I initially handled the Brandon Miller thing because I think like jump to conclusions. There's somebody dead, and my response is get him off the floor. I'm not sure that he needs to be on the floor, but the more details that come out, it doesn't seem like he needs to be off the court. And just coming on TV or on a podcast and saying, I don't know, let's wait is something that I need to get better at doing, and I didn't really do. And the Jalen Carter situation is, well, I guess we'll stop down there for a second in general. And I feel a lot more proud of the way that I handled the Ja Morant case up until this point, but that felt easier because it didn't feel as dramatic. There was when somebody dies, like you're or is killed, you're filled with a bunch of emotion, and you also know that you represent a voice that people want to hear. And I find myself doing that often, whereas like I know that people are feeling this, and even if I'm not feeling it, I'm like, all right. this needs to be said, because it needs to be said when it doesn't necessarily need to be said. What do you think?
So I think that we're in a really interesting place with the way that we digest these stories in particular, because I think it is sort of the crossing of two intersections of college sports veering between kids being amateur athletes, professional athletes, and to how we digest these stories because of social media. And the reason I say that is because when someone dies, when it's a serious situation, a tragic situation, right now with the way that social media is, we get access to a lot more opinions than we do information. And that's really important because it shapes the way you and I digest things and talk about things, because we feel a responsibility to say something on topics that are in the zeitgeist and are important and have ethical concerns. And to be quite frank, your voice matters on that a lot. And when you have, when you're shaped by opinions rather than information, it's impossible to not think about saying something that you think fits ethically with where the discourse is going and where you want to fall in that discourse amongst people that you respect. But that becomes tricky when I think it's in college sports where, quite frankly, over our entire lifetime, we've treated them as kids, not like professionals. And there's a responsibility of the program to protect kids, to not release all of the information, to limit their availability. Like, we haven't heard Brandon Miller talk about these things. We haven't heard Jalen Carter talk about these things the way that we have heard Ja Morant sit down with Jalen Rose, or, you know, there aren't agents involved in the same, in the same way. And so it becomes weird. It becomes something where we are painting an incomplete picture based on the way that other people have reacted to the news. And I think that that makes it much more difficult to not change your opinion over time, because the facts are trickling in at a slower rate.
So I don't have a problem changing my opinion over time, but I do think that that happens so often, and we see it happening in the MVP race, which is not nearly as consequential as some of these stories. But if you put yourself on Team Jokic midseason, then you're like, more information happens and you're unable to change your opinion. That's something I like. I think that's one of my strengths. It's like, I'm fine with like, I was wrong back then. Now I'm right with new information. But I think that when there's something that is so dramatic, I feel that's where I struggle. And so the last thing I'll say is, I've been thinking about this morning, how can I do a better job and how can you help me do a better job with that and us help each other? And I think the best thing to do is like, just, this sounds stupid, because I was trying to think of like a framework to go about thinking about these things. It's like, all right, should I list all the stakeholders, list all the outcomes? Because I actually do think that if I'm wrong about who wins the finals, like, I care less about that if I'm wrong about that. And I said this, I talked to some students at Towson University last week, and I told them, I repurposed a famous Ray Lewis quote where he said, you pay me for the week, like the practice week, and the weekends are free. And the way that I feel about it, how that affects me, is like, I feel like I get paid for all the sports analysis, but the important stuff is free. Like, that's when I feel like, that's when I'm most excited, you know? And that's when I feel like my job feels consequential, and it feels like whatever little drop in the bucket of shaping public opinion I have, I should do that well. So like, it really pains me to think that I do those things wrong. So maybe that framework helps, but also I think it's important to like be honest. And you don't have to, like, there's no rule that you have to have a hard, fast opinion. Just because something dramatic happened, there's no rule that says you have to say, like, it's okay to say, like, I don't know, I don't have enough information. Or it's okay to say, if this, if that. It's all right to work through your thoughts, because that's almost just as helpful or more helpful than just coming out hard. And that's the time, that's the only time I ever regretted things that I've said or done on like national platforms, is when I come out aggressively on something and then find out weeks later that I didn't know what I was talking about, or it was unnecessary. You know, like, it reminds me of the way JJ Redick reacted to Kendrick Perkins, where it was like, that was like really aggressive. And like, I understand the emotion in that, because that's like the criticism I would give myself, is like, sometimes I'm too emotional. And like, I understand the emotion and the defense for coming out of J.J. Redick. But when you are, like, at least for him, we all have like different positions of privilege and power. But when you're like 6'4", handsome white man who played in the NBA, like, yelling at anybody, probably not a good move. But like, laying out the facts is much like more useful, because I can't imagine that he liked the allies that he drew from doing that. So I don't know. That's always in the back of my mind. But I've been holding off on getting to the Ja conversation, because that to me is something that, like, I'm happy with the way that I talked about it. I don't know that I'm happy with how Ja is coming out of it. But before we get to all of that, I think this is a good time to introduce LJ Phillips, our intern. What's up, LJ?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You nervous?
Not really.
Oh, damn. Wow. You should have been nervous when I gave you that work in the backyard on a basketball court. We took a lunch break basketball game, and I got old man strength and an old man jump. I used the glass a couple times. It was incredible.
LJ, there's no chance that Dominique can make a left-handed layup. just force him left. Hug that right hand.
That's fair. He did whoop me. We did like 14 free throw contests, like best of five. He crushed me in all of those, but I still got him by like a foot, so he's not going to beat me in one-on-one, not for a few years. But anyway, I wanted you here because it's not just to fulfill your intern obligations, but I think you have a perspective that we don't have. And I'm wondering how Ja ranks as far as top players amongst people, like amongst you and people your age. Like, you're an AAU basketball player. Like, you are the perfect demographic for who the NBA wants Ja to, like, attract and entertain.
So I feel like Ja is a very popular player, and he has like a lot of fans. He's a very loved player. Like, but when you get to a certain age, you can tell, like, you know that what he did wasn't good.
Yeah.
Like, you know not to do it, but it's still that, like, a lot of people found out.
I don't want to get you in trouble with your parents, but the one thing that I was thinking about, and they'll forgive me, we're like family friends, so they'll be all right. One thing I've been thinking through this process is, like, I don't know that this was bad for Ja amongst young people. Cause, like, I think about, and this is, I've passed that threshold into like old mandom where kids acting up is like, oh, that's whack. But I remember when I was 12, 13 to like 18, where it's kind of cool and interesting, as long as it's not like too, cause, you know, I mean, Allen Iverson was like the guiding light for an entire generation. And Allen Iverson was not like an upstanding, like, he was cool. So I guess my question, my roundabout question for you is, like, has this impacted your like friend group and the way people think about Ja in any way, like positively or negatively?
So yeah, he's pretty much one of my favorite players. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, no, like, if you think about it, then it's a little harder to say for somebody that really likes Ja that they're his favorite player because of what he's done. So it's like harder to say that. And
right.
Yeah.
But it hasn't impacted you. Like, it's nothing that's like, you're not out on Ja Morant. You're looking forward to his return tonight.
Yeah. Like, I'm probably going to watch the game tonight. And yeah.
All right. What about you, Charlie? How are you influenced by Ja Morant? Are you going to grow your hair out and get some tats?
I've been long debating whether or not I should get a tattoo, but you know, being really right. Doughy and pasty, not the best look. I mean, LJ, just for the audience, because I remember this too, to Dominique's point about Iverson, I know Ja's one of your favorite players. You play point guard, but I think a lot of us who talk about basketball, we're in the world where it's still LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant as the icons of the league. But could you just let us know, just when you guys turn on highlights, what's the group of players you want to watch? Because that's the group of players that's going to be sort of the marquee players for us to talk about for years to come.
Yeah, so it really depends. Like, you know, if it's going to be like a dunking highlight, you're expected to see Ja. If it's going to be like a maybe like a shooting highlight or something, you're expecting to see like Steph Curry or one of the great shooters. If it's like supposed to be like, I don't know, ankle breaker, like really good handles, dribbles, you have Kyrie or somebody that just good at that part of their play.
If we polled all the like kids in your AAU league, who are the top three players? Like their favorite players?
Favorite or like skill and like right now?
No, I mean like the guys that they would get excited for, you know, like the guys that they look up to, you know, the guys that they copy. Because I don't know, I feel like LaMelo was a big deal before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And that felt like a real young people's thing, because us old people are like, yeah, win some games.
Yeah, a lot of people like LaMelo. I feel like Jason Tatum, LaMelo's in there. Steph Curry.
Yeah, Steph's still in there? Still,
yeah, I think Steph Curry's in there. Maybe like Devin Booker, not as much, but okay. He's part of that.
I'm old. I just want KD to cook. That's all I want. All right. I appreciate you, LJ. So Jalen Carter. So the interesting part about the Jalen Carter conversation is he's sliding on draft boards. And I would have thought that the off the field stuff was irrelevant. But then when it bleeds into his combine performance, it impacts his combine performance. And I think it's hard to assess how much it should matter, because it's certainly a bad decision. But if we took people or drop people on a draft board for bad decisions, then everyone would drop. Everyone makes bad decisions, especially at that age. It's unfortunate, obviously, everything that happened around it. And I can think back to all the years that I played in college and even early years in the NFL, like just did dumb stuff. And you got away with it most of the time, but you did dumb stuff and you found yourself in bad situations, or you put yourself in bad situations. And most of the time you were fine. But the scary thing for Jalen Carter is the question that he does so many of these things that eventually he was going to get entangled in one, or is it just like happenstance that this one happened to get him caught? Because this was a really bad one, but it doesn't seem that it would not sour me on drafting him if that was the decision alone. The problem is him not showing up. Whatever all this stuff around him is, it led to him showing up to a pro day that he controlled and he looked bad in, really bad, and that would concern me.
Yeah, let's be clear here. He looked crazy bad in this pro day. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. I've never seen someone doing drills like that and then being just lying down out of breath while a trainer like slowly stretches them out after working out for 10 minutes. That was crazy. He showed up 9 pounds heavier than he was at the combine, 13 pounds heavier than he was during the season. The thing that I find fascinating about Jalen Carter is I don't know what phylum to put him in. Because I go to PFF, I listen to Todd McShay talk about it, and this is like a special, special type of prospect. McShay said if he had been running the Bears, he would have not traded the first pick and just drafted Jalen Carter. He thinks that's more valuable than the haul they got. PFF has him rated as the highest graded defensive tackle they've ever scouted, and that's crazy because the position, as we've seen this offseason, is more valuable than ever. And on the Jalen Carter case, I fall much closer to you on this, where being 21, he probably showed bad judgment leaving the scene of a tragic accident and racing his car, et cetera, et cetera. But it's not the same moral concerns they have as him instigating things that are truly unsavory. But what I don't know is, one, how much does the pre-draft stuff even matter? Like, you went through it. Do you think that actually is an effective way of evaluating these players, or something that really determines how good they are? And two, it does he fall in the Warren Sapp, Dan Marino, Randy Moss phylum of, you know, transcendent talents who get negative draft buzz? Or is he someone who just, this is, we're getting more information and that's causing his slide?
Yeah. I mean, I don't even, so it's the workout for me, because yeah, the draft buzz wasn't, I mean, the off the field stuff to me, and I'm trying to be careful because obviously you have to understand that two people died, but that to me was not like a huge issue or concern. Like, I've like raced a car on the street before, and fortunately it didn't turn into like entire incident. Like it's not him. It's I feel a bit iffy putting him in the category with some of these other guys who had like legitimate concerns about like actually doing things that are like, yeah, I'm not trying to undersell how dangerous it is what he's doing. I know it's dangerous, but it doesn't seem unusual or abnormal. And I don't know, maybe
and that's what I was going to give the Warren Sapp comparison, because he just basically smoked a little weed before the draft. And that was in the time of pearl clutching, where if someone was like, you smoked marijuana, you can't play defensive tackle in the NFL. And those are that seems like the parallel case.
Yeah. It's not a big deal to me. So I would be fine with drafting him on that. The concerning part is like, just like being a dud at your pro day. And what's that about? Getting to the bottom of that would be the biggest concern. But I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't pass on Jalen Carter. He was that good. And it depends on where you are. Maybe I wouldn't draft number one overall because I'd be concerned about these things. But drafting everybody is a risk. And it's normally the risky part is like, can they play or not? I don't think that's a risk with Jalen Carter. He's going to be a dominant player in the league if there's not some bigger issue, a bigger underlining issue causing him to have troubles right now. So, yeah, I'd find it hard to pass on him. I don't understand why people would let him fall at this point unless they know something we don't know.
How much does any of this stuff matter? Like pro days, combine, any of it compared to when you're someone this good?
It doesn't. I mean, I think it's you are looking for a reason to like support your preconceived opinions. You know, like I was a third round prospect my junior year. Had I come up my junior year, the NFL gave me a grade that said I would have gone in the third round. I played my senior year and then it was projected for the third round. I ran a 4.340, which is like really fast to get people's attention. And you know what? I was drafted in the third round. Like I think people know what you are and who you are. And if you, I think rarely, it's not, obviously nothing is absolute, as I say all the time, but like you can go there and show up. Like DK Metcalf feels like an example of that, where you can show up and get people's attention. Richardson this year is a guy. You can show up and really change people's mind. You can show up and run so slow that people like are second guessing you. But by and large, 80 to 90% of the people at the combine or at your pro day, they're just making sure that you're still healthy and nothing went terribly wrong. It's hard to really impact your draft status at the combine or at the pro day. So I think Jalen Carter is probably going to be all right. I'd be shocked if he falls out of the top 10. I wouldn't let him get out of the top 5 because I think the ceiling is that high. And you can build a team around a really talented young player, even if it's not your quarterback. If he is future Hall of Fame talent, which is what he looks like, if he can produce that way for the next 5 years under a rookie deal, you can imagine the other things you can put around him and actually build like a dominant defense around the fact that you have a guy who should be being paid at the top of the league playing in first round money. And I point to this example a lot. Von Miller is an example of winning a Super Bowl because you have a Hall of Fame talent guy playing under rookie deal. And then you can build up the defense around him and your quarterback doesn't even have to be able to throw a 20 yard out. Because Peyton Manning couldn't at that point, and you can still win the Super Bowl.
You know it's going to happen, right?
No, don't say it. He's going to go to the Eagles.
He's going to go to the Eagles. He's going to drop to 10.
No way.
And I'm going to be, or they're going to trade up, and he's going to end up with Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean, and he's going to be the best player on that defensive line after he was the best player on the defensive line with Trayvon Walker and Jordan Davis. And the Eagles are going to be even more of a juggernaut. And we're going to have to pat Howie Roseman on the back and call him a genius. And the Washington Commanders are never going to be good. And I'm going to be sad.
No way he slides to 10, but that's impossible to me. Anyway, I'm sorry that the Commanders are never going to win. LJ, I appreciate you joining us. We're going to have you again on Thursday. You need some hot takes. We're going to do a hot take show. Also, don't do drugs. Don't speed when you get your driver's license. It's all bad things. Be safe and smart like I always was. All right, time for Roses and Thorns. He's so good!
How has Dominique been lately?
Bad or good?
Let's find out. This is Roses and Thorns.
All right, it's time. Everybody's favorite part of the show. Roses and Thorns. I said favorite part of the show, not favorite Foxworth. So go ahead. It's Ashley, my wife, closing out.
Maybe the people who keep listening.
Yeah. I mean, everyone listens. Some people listen in reverse. This is at the end of the show. Although we tape it before, and
we do tape it before,
it's probably kind of awkward for my intern.
Yes, you have an intern today. Ooh, don't get no ideas. Don't try to find like a permanent intern.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. But yeah, I'm sure. Well, by now, I think the people probably already met him because I'm going to force him to talk on the show earlier.
Oh, OK. OK. Well, then, yes, you already met his intern, our dear family friend and our daughter's classmate, LJ.
Yep. Cool. So it's a long week. Busy week. Actually, the weekend was the longest part and
just
eventful.
And, you know, I was thinking like when I was like looking, you know, at my calendar, I was like, OK, no kids sports. We have a little, you know, we have some family stuff to do, but it was going to be a peaceful, mournful. We had a funeral, a family funeral this weekend, but it was early Saturday morning. So then I was like, and then after that, we'll all just kind of recover for the rest of the weekend. So actually, I'll start with my rose since we're talking about that. My rose for you is that, and it comes from a place of this, you know what, said when he was getting dressed, I was like, I don't know. I think you should wear, he was wearing like a sport coat and some like five pocket pants. And I was like, I don't know. I just feel like for a funeral, you need to wear a suit, babe. But the thing is all his black suits were too big and even dark gray. So he was like, well, it's either going to be this, which is like black or, and he was a pallbearer too, or a blue. And it wasn't even like a super dark navy. It was like a light navy blue suit. And I was like, yeah, I think I go navy suit or light navy suit. And he was like, fine, it's your family's funeral. It's not my family. I'll wear what you say. And I was like, I don't have time to be mad at you right now for making a comment like that. But let me just tell you, and I don't say this to make fun of him or whatever, but this man was crying as hard as anyone at the funeral. And because it is his family and because we are all one family. And so my rose is that one, you're in touch with your emotions a little bit, belatedly, but sometimes, but two, that you accept my really big family as your own. And we've had so much family time this weekend. And even though you make jokes like it's your family, it is not my family. It is your family. It is our family. And you love them like that and like welcome them and are around them. And so anyway, that's my rose, is that you love my family as your own.
I was surprised, but I mean, myself, maybe there was some other stuff going on. I don't know what's happening. I'm a almost 40 year old man. I don't know anything about feelings, and that's because I grew up in the 80s and 90s, and that's
he'll be 40 in a week.
Yeah, and that's how we do things.
Birthday trip.
Anyway, that I'm shocked. That was, I guess it's part of the rose, but that wasn't what I expected. I just knew I was earning a rose.
I didn't mean to say that. Yeah.
I just knew I was earning a rose on was it Saturday night?
Saturday night, yes. We had the after party to the repass in my house. It just happened randomly.
It's not a repass. It was definitely an after party, which is a celebration of life, is how it started, I guess. But it ended up just being a celebration. And you know I don't like people, so it was a lot of people in my house.
And there were kids around. He don't like people. He don't like kids. He's been around kids all day.
But I like remember, my kids.
He's good at being the grumpy old man. You like your kids sometimes. He's good at being the grumpy old man who retires to the basement / to the bedroom and manages to not come down and complain in his drawers when Trap Taboo, we were playing Trap Taboo, when that got really loud. So thanks, homie, for loving and welcoming him in my family.
Oh, no, it's fine. They had a good time. It was nice to see all the people who were really hurting earlier in the day to be like really celebratory that evening.
And still hurting, but having a little brief like distraction from it, right?
But it was it's nice to see all the people that I knew, but there was a bunch of people I didn't know. It like turned into a real legitimate party. That was like, it started as like just coming back, I don't know, at like 6 o'clock with a couple cousins and whatever, and then I come downstairs, there's 30 people in my house just popping.
Which, for a real party, like when we used to have real parties, that's small for a real party. So, you know, it was an intimate gathering.
Okay, it was an intimate gathering that went till 3 in the morning.
And it kind of like 1 in the morning, let's not exaggerate. It kind of like inspired me to entertain like that, like small, that's not a word, more, I know you're so excited. Because like a lot of times we'll throw a party and I'm like, okay, I have the caterer booked. I have the photo booth booked. I have, you know, like my outfit picked out. And
bartender.
I've custom ordered, I have a bartender. bartender coming. I've custom ordered like all the right, like, you know, even if it's just like throwaway disposable, but like plates and cups and whatnot. So again, it was growing. So first it was just like eight of us or six of us, something. I ordered a whole bunch of Chinese food. It was a whole bunch for eight people because it was like, yeah, we're going to have leftovers. We eat all night. We'll put it in the fridge. It was not a whole bunch for 30 people. So I ordered food. I didn't have a caterer. I Instacarted from Wegmans to get, and we had a lot of liquor, but it was like certain things that people liked that we were low on, like bourbon. I Instacarted or Perfect Bullet to make like bourbon cocktails. I Instacarted more bourbon and more juices for mixers for stuff. I pulled out leftover from one of my daughter's birthday parties, which was like a year ago, almost, some Encanto paper plates. When those ran out, I had some fall baby shower, like there's a new pumpkin coming plates that I used. I have like custom made Christmas cups from an old Christmas party that have like Christmas sayings. This one says Rudy, Rudy, Rudy with the big old booty twerk, excuse me, Rudy, Rudy. They're all songs, Christmas songs. I pulled those out. I found some plastic forks or wooden forks that I had like from another event. And then when we ran out of Chinese food, my brother bought pizza and wings. I ordered some insomnia cookies. And it's like, you can gather and celebrate and be with your family. And it doesn't have to be like perfect. I was wearing sweats because I changed out of the clothes I've been in all day. It was really nice. So I think, if anything, it's inspired me to do these things more often. So yay, babe.
I can't wait. Yeah. And I watched Megan in the basement with three kids. and then eventually went up to my bedroom and watched Maryland get shellacked by Alabama. And sadly, that game was over before the end. So I turned off the TV just to go ahead and go to sleep. And I realized that
trap taboo gets very loud.
That was worse. Like it was better when there was a constant like din of the TV in the background than like the up and down fluctuations of hearing people directly beneath me yelling because they were trying to guess, I don't know, some Young Jeezy lyrics. I don't know what the clues are in trap taboo, but
oh my god, I should get a card. Shoot, they're in the other room. I would grab them there in the kitchen though. I think
go grab them. You can get it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Okay, but here, I got it. So it has the words, Dominique, close your eyes. Oh no, most people don't look at it anyway. So, you know, like taboo, it has like a word you have to get someone to guess. And then it has clues, a bunch of words you cannot say. Normally there'd be someone. Like,
they can go to YouTube, just show the card. I'll close my eyes.
So here's the clue I'm about to do. Okay, this one's going to be easy. Man, hi, as the Taliban. I'm the man.
Rubber band.
Yes. Right. Okay. Oh, you used to wear these down to your knees because you're from Baltimore.
White tee.
Yes. Go in protection so you don't get killed.
Witness.
The people who try to protect your neighborhood but don't always do the best job, but
the Black Panthers, neighborhood watch. White moms.
The nearby office for the
community, nearby the, office.
They have sirens on their cars.
Pinkerton.
They have sirens on their cars.
Oh, I said police. Sirens on their car.
Oh, and you said that. Okay, and they're organized. They're organized into different what?
Communities, cities, district, municipalities.
Okay, not the district. The like the second
county, city. Okay, we lose. Game precinct. Over. It was fun.
Precinct.
Precinct. Oh yeah, got it. That makes sense.
Oh, here's one. One of my favorite rappers. And he had a lot of mixtapes, and you know he's playing at the Fillmore soon. We should get tickets.
Lil Wayne, a lot of mixtapes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
Okay, I'll stop. But there's a ton of them. Some of them I'm like, I don't know if this is appropriate. Like, if yeah. we should be saying that this is a trap word, it's almost like a little bit racist, yeah, maybe.
The,
but
the
whatever.
Thing is, it's one of those internal community things where it's like, I'm fine with like us making some of these clues, but I'm not sure that I would. I don't know. If I walked in on a house of all white people playing Trap Taboo, I'd be really interested how they got to the clues. It might be a little uncomfortable.
I like to lick the sauce when we order it. The type of sauce I love most on my favorite type of food. I clean the bones off.
I mean, you're from DC, so it should be mumbo, but you don't like mumbo sauce.
What is it for real? What type of do I get?
Chick-fil-A sauce? I don't
know. What type do I get when we order the... So you have to say the word so I can say it. We order the
wings?
The things I eat. Yes.
Oh, lemon pepper. Lemon pepper.
Duh, lemon pepper. That's a clue.
You got it. Oh, what are the words on lemon pepper that you can't say? Because I feel like Rick Ross is where you need to go immediately.
You can't say Rick Ross. Okay. You can't say wings. You can't say fries. You can't say strip club. You can't say chicken.
Okay, gotcha. All right, cool.
Anyway, but the funniest time we played this in January with my father. Do you remember that?
Yes,
my dad is like a almost 70-year-old doctor. But what I have to remember about my dad at all times is he was raised by a numbers runner. There was actually just an Instagram post about my grandfather. So it's not like, something that anyone's ashamed of.
This is the true American dream. Like your family is like a black numbers runner gave birth to doctors and lawyers. And
but my dad is just, and I mean, he's a black man who grew up in a city, but yeah. also, you know, who watches movies, but also me and my siblings at first, like the rappers, he didn't know. But anything, there's a lot of like police and like legal terminology,
yeah.
all that. He was killing it. Yeah. And he never even understood, like never played the game of Taboo.
Alan, obviously, like he doesn't like come off as like hoity-toity in any way. Like it's clear that he like grew up around black people, but you also like when you get to...
went to HBCUs.
When you get to a certain age, I guess you just assume, and he's like been successful, you just assume that he's not understanding those things. But I like... learned a lot about his upbringing and how close he was to the business, to the element, and is kind of
I mean, I feel like we learned this in Trap Taboo. Like it was like, man, yeah, like that's when we learned it. We were like, ooh, you were raised a little different than me.
Yeah, one of the things about him that's interesting is I have a good time was like he's crazy obsessed with locks, and I just thought like making sure things are locked, and I just thought it was like, I don't know, he's just a weird old man. That's his hang up.
But all the doors, like any house he comes into when he leaves, because he loves his family, wants to make sure we're safe.
And that's because when he was young, like there was like actual raids and people busted in.
Raids is a clue. He got that one dude who's like, "Well, the FBI stole my piggy bank, but yes. then they gave it back to me." We were like, the raid. That was didn't say yes. FBI because he couldn't say that. The time they took my piggy bank, but then they realized they didn't feel like counting it.
Yeah, he harder than me because he told me about when he or not he didn't tell me this. I think one of your aunts told me about when all the women had to leave the house and he was like 10 and all the men stayed there and everyone got a gun and he got a gun at like 10 years old. Absolutely.
He did not have a gun. Let's not. He did not own a gun at 10 years old.
Oh, no, I don't think he owned one, but I thought the story was everyone had access to
it. This is what someone has said.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I'm sorry. I want to spread the rumors. Forget
there
it.
There were no guns.
Cut this story all out together. I don't want to be on the hit list. Cut it out. You trying to get me killed? I don't want to die. I'm sorry.
This
I'm
was
not
also snitching. Back in like the 70s. So
I'm soft.
We're covered. No one. Yeah, I know. We're soft. But this is like I'm like, what does this mean? I don't know. And like, and I was actually, there were a bunch of like lawyers too playing it. Like I technically am a lawyer, my sister, my cousin, and all of us were like, he's getting these better than us. Interesting. but anyway, so that was my rose, was that you're great with my family. And we've gone off on a tangent there. I'm sorry. I have thorns too, and they're actually about me, not about you. One of them is that I am an absolute psycho. And we're going away and we're doing cold weather skiing first and then going to a beach. So there's a lot of packing. And I have this problem where I look like crap at home, like 70% of the time. But when I go on vacation, I think every look from the time I roll out of bed to the time I roll back in bed and I pack matching pajamas, but I actually do wear matching pajamas every day at home, has to be fly. So my packing list just for myself, but it also has the toiletries and the children's medications and whatnot, is like 3 pages. And the kids, so that is my thorn, that like I'm about to pop zippers, but I'm like, it's okay if it pops. Away can send you a new suitcase in no time. It can pop when we get to Aspen and we'll get them to send us a new one, or I can ship stuff home that we don't need for the beach. So that is my thorn. How you live with me, I don't know.
I know, I love it. It makes, I mean, covering all these things are things that I don't have to worry about. So I'm organizing this. I have an intern.
Oh, it's right his now. Birthday trip.
Yeah, thank you. I thought it was birthday.
Is it well, that's the hashtag. It is your birthday trip, but the hashtag is Dominique's 40th birthday trip, because we're going to be freezing.
We got it. We got it. So I have an intern from the school, and so I also organize an internship for my daughter and one of her friends, and it reminds me how much I appreciate that you organize things, because it's such a pain in the ass.
Let me tell you,
try to organize between two families in an office to make sure everything is coordinated. And I'm trying to like buy lunch for the office as a thank you, which is another thing.
I was like, just let me. I can send.
I called already. They said to call them back, and I can plan it. So I got it under control. But anyway, that's why I appreciate.
I've been ignoring the group messages about it. I'm like, this is Dominique saying this is one thing he's doing. He's taking off my plate. I'm not trying to go back.
So you keep trying to go back. You keep offering to like set up their catering for me. I got it. I can handle
it.
Oh,
yeah. But that is like a separate thing. I haven't had to like connect with the office, and I, you know, not that I like the other family, but I'm like, nah, y'all good. Y'all got this. I'm not planning this. But I actually like them. So I want to be like, hey, but I'm like, nope, not hey about this, because this is not my business. So thank you. That's another rose that you've set that up. But you also set up the whole trip. Like, I've made reservations and stuff, although he was like, and like found a babysitter that other people know, that we can, other people have used, that I'm friends with, so that I'm kind of comfortable with for my kids, not kind of, but I'm comfortable with for my kids. So we can like go do fun things, because there's a lot of like good restaurants and stuff. And asked me, he was like, whoa, 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 I don't plan on being at dinner with you every night. I was like, oh, well, I've already guaranteed the babysitter, like the babysitting every night.
Yes, we're going. So I planned this trip. But I started to get a little nervous about it this week, because it dropped down to the 30s around us for the weekend.
20s even? 20s?
Yeah. I mean, the projection for them, for Aspen, when we're going to be there is the 20s. I mean, that it got down to the 30s here.
Oh, and it was cold.
And I was like, oh, yeah, this is actually really cold. Because when I was making the trip plans, it's like 40, 50 outside. And the projections were for it to be around 40 degrees in Aspen. And I was like, yeah, we'd be all right. But if we're in the 20s. In the 30s, we're supposed to be skiing all morning, and then I don't know, might be a miss, but hey, it'll be fun.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I have an idea. I'm going to run upstairs. I need you to grab me a Trap Taboo card, and we're going to see if I can get Sarah to guess it. That's how we're going to
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. Well, I could do it for all that.
Sarah, you ready? Oh, okay. Well, you got it.
You know what? I chose four. I have four. We're going to end this. Sarah is our wonderful, wonderful producer, without whom we would be nowhere.
Single and on the apps, guys. And we'll see how she does on Trap Taboo. Let you know who should be hitting her up in the DMs.
Sarah, I grew up with white people. I'm going to give you these clues as best as I can.
Okay.
All right, okay. You ready?
Yes. Instead of using Drizzly, you can go in person to the
liquor store?
Yes, exactly. Okay, this is a little bit tough. Honey, if you figure out what it is, start helping me, okay? It is online, used to be really popular. They would post a lot of dramatic things between people.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You got it now, honey?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, enough. Go ahead.
Like a gossip site, kind of?
A gossip site, but it was black gossip.
Oh, I thought it was the fight site where people would put when people fight.
Well, and fights, but I mean, it would be gossip stuff too. Yeah,
videos mostly. Okay. So people yell this when they're about to fight. Somebody might yell it because they're going to record it. All right. So here we go. We live on
the earth. And another word for earth is the
world.
Yes. Yeah.
And a star the sun
that
has, is.
A, oh, shoot.
A, the sun is a
world star.
You did it. Yay.
Okay. I got another one. Oh, Dominique mentioned his name last week because the ice out goggles I wanted to get him for. He's not old. He's
young.
Mm-hmm. And A, B, C, D, E, F.
No. You can't just go to the alphabet.
You can't? No, I'm not using the letter, though. I'm not using the letter.
Okay. A lot of Christians accept who is their Lord and Savior?
Ooh.
God.
Okay.
The younger version.
Jesus?
Yes, Jesus. If you wanted to call him, like, instead of calling, like, Wayne, we can call Little Wayne, Little Wheezy. We can call my Kneezy. What might they have called Jesus back in the day?
I don't know.
Okay, Wayne, Wheezy, Dominique, it's Deezy. Jesus could have been?
Jeezy?
Nice. Yes, you did it. We did it.
Last one.
Last one. I thought we were done.
Say about me. I told you I had four.
Okay.
They can't get a dollar out of me because I'm a mother effing.
Okay, so.
Big, spend and cheese, and we be big. Okay.
Okay, so let's say.
Selling your body.
Yes, a man who manages a bunch of ladies of the night. This man is called a?
Him.
Nice. There we go.
Sarah,
we
did are a trap taboo pro.
Congratulations. Are you sweating? Yeah.
I'm sweating. Okay. I'm sweating.
Tense. All right.
Good job. Listen, that was long. You. Edit out what you don't want to edit out. It can be the trap taboo, even though I have fun, because I don't know if my grandkids should know that I play trap taboo. You know, what do I want my
legacy to
be?
I need mine to know.
Okay, that's true. You have to share. That's true.
All right. Well,
okay.
Thanks. Thanks, Ashley. Thanks, Adi. Thanks, Sarah. And thanks, Christina. Bye.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.